the motion's back up on the board, that would be great. Okay, thank you. So now, you're going to continue to perfect the motion to substitute. And what I'd like to do is try to run down the motion in order here, just to make it a little bit, thank you for making it bigger, just to take one piece at a time without getting too complicated. So does anybody have a desire to amend the beginning of this motion? Anybody from the council? Let's take it right up to where it says Georgia, right before Georgia's Bank Card Recreational Management Measures. Anything before that line, does anybody have a desire to amend that to perfect this motion? Seeing none. Okay. Now we can address Georgia's Bank Card Recreational Management Measures. We've got a slot limit, a possession limit, and a season. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have an amendment to this portion of the motion. I would like to amend under Georgia's Bank Card Recreational Management Measures the closed season portion of that. I would like the closed season to be from May 1st to July 31st.
Okay. Mr. Bellavance has proposed an amendment. Let's get it on the board and we'll see if we get a second. Okay, Mr. Pierdnock, are you seconding that motion?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Rick, what waves are those, please?
That is wave 3 and 1 month of wave 4.
Okay, if we could include that in the amendment, just to be clear.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. So Mr. Bellavance moves to amend.
Mr. Chairman. It would be sort of language up above the first half of wave 4, just to make sure that it's clear that it's July and not August, because August is the other month in wave 4. So my intention is July. So the first half of wave 4.
So it'll be wave 3 and the first half of wave 4.
Yeah, sorry for
that's okay. You can take out the 1 month if you want. Wave 3 and the first half of wave 4 would be right. Okay. You good with that, Rick?
Yes.
Okay. The motion is to amend the closed season be from May 1 to July 31, wave 3 and the first half of wave 4. Is there any discussion on the motion to amend from the council? Mr. Bellavance?
Sorry, yeah. If it's helpful, I can just offer my rationale. But if you'd rather
go, that'd be great. No, go ahead. That's great. That's okay. Fair game for sure.
Thank you. Just real simply, this is a bit of a compromise in my perspective from where we could be. It gives a little leeway from the 75 metric ton target as a buffer. The 5 fish per day included in this set of measures is going to severely limit, if not reduce, the directed fishery. The slot limit size is going to protect some of the bigger breeders. And then this season will definitely be constraining for recreational catch at the time when folks are going for them. According to the data we looked at, I think it's a little bit more fair than the previous one, in that the reduction that the recreational fishery will be faced with here is more in line with the commercial side with that target and these measures. So I think this will be all right. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Pierdmark, any additional rationale from you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would just like to add, this is a good middle ground to an attempt to work for all, you know, the northern end of up by the 42 lat line all the way down to New York, New Jersey, and in between. So this works well for that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Etri, and then Mr. Smith.
Thank you. I appreciate the motion, but I am going to have to disagree and vote against the motion to amend. I don't see it as being equitable with the commercial fishery. As noted, the commercial fishery, if we do nothing, is looking at a percent reduction of 84%. If we take the 75 metric tons, we're still looking in the mid to high 70 range, if I'm doing my math right, of a percent reduction, where this option, which is, if I'm following, is basically option one, is a 63% reduction. So that's a marked difference. It's not equitable. It's a marked difference. Secondly, the main reason why the conservation, the management measures I put forward were tied to the 75 metric ton is because the measures in the main motion as substituted result in a projection of estimated mortality of 46 metric tons, a 72% conservation benefit, where if we look at the 20 and our past, if we look at our past history of setting management measures for the wreck fishery with Georges Bank cod with the approach that Jamie described, in 2020, we were 113% over the catch target. We don't have a great track record. There's a lot of nuances with the 2020 numbers, and even if you figure and calculate in new MRAP data and whatnot, we're exceeding. We've been exceeding the catch target for Georges Bank cod. And when we're looking at an ABC that is going to be so low, we're increasing the probability of the commercial fishery having a pound for pound payback that they'll have to face if the recreational fishery cannot stay within this limit. So while I appreciate it, I don't agree with the equity that's been raised as a justification. I'm going to stick with the underlying motion because I believe it provides a better buffer between the percent reduction, the estimated mortality, and our track record on being able to effectively match management measures with realized mortality. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smith and then Mr. Salerno.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I share some of Ms. Etri's concerns with this motion, but want to try to understand it in relation to some of the catch targets and analysis that was done earlier. You know, Jamie, I had asked earlier whether we might be able to look at some different alternatives. Are you able to put this alternative in the context of some of the other analyses that you did earlier, showing which ones would meet the target catches and which ones might not, and maybe put that slide back up, get a comparison of those two. I'm just trying to get a sense of where this one gets us.
Yeah, Dr. Cornain, you did have your hand up, so you can kill two birds with one stone here if you like.
Thank you. This is option one under alternative three. Option one results in a 63% reduction in estimated mortality of 60.3 metric tons.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Jamie, can you say the second part? It results in a reduction of 60-something percent, but which catch target?
The average catch from 2018 to 2020 in the calendar year basis is 163 metric tons. These measures are estimated to have a percent reduction of 63%. If you apply that reduction to 163 metric tons, the estimated mortality is 60.3 metric tons.
Thank you.
Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm having a little trouble struggling with this motion to amend. Particularly, the reason why it was changed was the closed season. You know, my understanding of the recreational fishery, we're talking about a aerial component that runs from New Jersey all the way to the backside of the Cape. And in this portion of the stock area that this fishery occurs, this is a seasonal type fishery. And I think there is a seasonal component that the fishery moves from either east to west or west to east, depending on the time of the year. And I think adding those two extra months, the March and April, that are actually part of the main motion, did capture a little more of cutting back on the catch of Georgia's Bank Cod. I think it was more appropriate, as was stated earlier, that these reduction in mortality estimates are not as robust as what we see in the Gulf of Maine cod. So I'm taking, in my mind, what is considered a little more conservative approach to ensure that the recreational fishery is going to be able to stay within its target that we have here, 75 metric tons. So I'm just going to oppose this motion to amend. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the council? Dan and Jeff, you can put your hands down if you want. That'd be great. Anybody else from the council on the motion to further amend, I guess is what it is? Anybody from the public? Ms. Raymond.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out that the Groundfish Advisory Panel recommended the target option that would have resulted in a target of 43 metric tons as opposed to 75. So a 75 metric ton target from the perspective of the Groundfish Advisory Panel is very generous. And it's important to keep in mind that takes that fish away from the commercial fishery. Okay, so that's why it's really important that the measures are actually going to keep that catch to the target or below, because the overage will be taking off the commercial fishery in the subsequent year. So I don't, you know, personally, I have no idea whether or not these measures do that. I don't. But I think the council members need to make sure that they actually do keep the fishery within the target, so that the commercial fishery doesn't pay the price in the end. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just following up with Ms. Raymond's comment, one of the reasons why we supported the different alternative, the Groundfish Advisors supported the different alternative, is because we also felt very strongly that that the reductions should be consistent across the board for what was going to be occurring in the ABC reduction from 1 year to the next. And that resulted in that level of fish. This motion that's been approved with the 75 metric tons is the 1 year solution that is trying to be mindful of recreational catch. It's a very generous amount to be discussed again in the upcoming years. But it's also extremely important that that measures are put in place to not exceed that amount, because that amount will be paid for by the commercial fishery. And seeing that there is that the commercial fishery is being held accountable to the ABC reduction for next year, there's not going to be much that the commercial fishery is going to be able to afford to be paying on behalf of others that go through their amounts. So, I largely defer to the recreational industry on what measures are appropriate to not exceed that amount. But I do put in a lot of caution that we don't want to be in a situation where the commercial fishery is having to pay any overages, I should say, in the upcoming year. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Mr. Giancoloni. You're muted, Vito. Mr. Gincalani? Okay, Vito, you should be good now.
So, Chair, I'm not sure what's wrong. As you can tell, we show him unmuted, but I can't hear him.
Yeah, Vito, you might be muted on your end, because you're good to go with us. Well, we're waiting for Vito. So what this further amendment does, it changes the closed season to a shorter period of time. It changes it from March 1st through July 31st to May 1st through July 31st. So I'll get that on the record so I don't have to read the thing when we go to vote on it. So. Mr. Pappalardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While we're waiting for Vito, would it be possible for Jamie to give an approximation on the difference in reduction between the two? When you close April and May, March and April, how much more of a reduction is that?
Doctor, is that possible?
Yes, it is. Hold on, I'm just pulling up my notes. So under the underlying motion, which has a longer closed season, the estimate that we have for that is the catch would be 46 metric tons. And under the motion to amend, which would have the shorter season, the estimate under those measures is 60.3 metric tons. So the difference between the two is the first one, the underlying motion, the main is about 14 metric tons lower estimated mortality than the second one. Both of them would be under that catch target 75.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Vito, you with us? Go ahead, Jackie. Can you help him out?
Yeah, he's having an issue with his microphone on his computer, and he's not able to make a comment right now. So he apologized for his technological difficulties.
Should I wait for him, or should we move on, Jackie?
I think you should just move on, because I don't think his technological difficulties will be fixed in time for this. Thank you, though, Eric.
Okay. Well, I don't want to not have him. So, give him one more second.
Can he call in using his phone, Eric?
That's what I'm doing.
Vito, if you can hear us, call in using your phone. Thanks.
All right, we'll wait a second. So just there's a process question while we're waiting for Vito. So at this point, we've addressed, it hasn't passed, but we've talked about it. Everything but the last line of either one of these motions, the underlying motion, underlying substitute motion, and the motion to amend, except for the very last sentence, we've addressed these issues at this point. So just keep that in mind when we dispose of this motion. Dr. Sissonwein.
Yes, if I could, I wanted to follow up on the question that John Pappalardo asked in Jamie's answer. Just to make sure I heard correctly, what I think I heard is that with the amendment, which would allow a little bit more opportunity for recreational fishing, the analysis would indicate the catch would still be under the 75 tons. am I correct? Is that what I heard? And Jamie, am I missing something that should cause me to be more cautious? Thank you.
Our preliminary analysis of both. So under the first one, we estimate 46 metric tons, which has that longer closed season. And under the second one, we estimate 60 metric tons. Both of those would be under the catch target in each motion of 75.
Okay, thank you. I do, based on comments and an exchange we had earlier, do recognize that there's a lot of uncertainty, but thank you.
Mr. Belovance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add just a couple more things if I could. For starters, the recreational advisory panel recommended a different target. And so I can appreciate that the groundfish advisory panel recommended one, but the recreational advisory panel recommended a 71 metric ton target. So this is in line with their thoughts there. And this is one of the exact set of measures that they also put forward. So I think it's important to remember that. And then we learned through after the recreational advisory panel met, we learned that the flat limit size didn't calculate some savings that would be taken from the fact that the 2018 recreational measures were actually run up to 23 inches that year. And the slot didn't take into consideration some minor reductions in catch that didn't happen in 2018. So the numbers were a little up there. So this is even more conservative than what we think. And then the last thing I want to mention is relative to the ABC. So I just think it's important to remember that I consider the catch of the two different fisheries more important than what the ABC is. So the average catch for the last 3 years on the commercial side and the average catch from the recreational side doesn't add up to the ABCs that we've had for a while. And it's not exactly in my mind appropriate to calculate reductions from an ABC. I think it's more accurate and more reflective of the fishery to calculate those reductions from the average catch on both fisheries. And with a 71 or 75 metric ton target, that's like a 56-57% reduction for both recreational and commercial from their catch over the last 3 years. And I think that's important to remember. So thank you for the time to add that.
Okay, so while I'm looking at this, the motion to amend does not include the first sentence that starts with the council set the FY 2022 ABC recommendations for Georges Bancott at 754. Should that be included in the text of the amended motion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. If you can make that happen, that would be great. Vito, are you with us? Okay, we got to move on. Sorry. Any more comments from the council before we call the vote on the motion to amend the substitute motion? Ms. Eitri.
Thanks. I just wanted to quickly touch upon the comment that Rick shared about his opinion about how we should be viewing the percent reduction. And just again, highlight, because I think it's important when we're determining risk, is to keep in mind that the risk associated with us getting this wrong will be borne by the commercial fishery. Unlike other fisheries where we look at catch because there's a sub-ACL and corresponding AMs, that's not the case in this fishery. So I think we need to be really careful and really confident, as it was spoken by others, that we're confident that these recreational measures that are being proposed will stay within whatever the target is that we set. Because if we don't, especially with the low ABCs, it will be borne by the commercial fishery, not by the recreational fishery. Thank you.
Sorry, I was unmuted. I was muted. Ms. Denise, would you call the roll on the motion to amend?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. This is on motion 3D, the motion to amend the substitute motion. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
No.
Ms. Etree?
No.
Mr. Gottfried?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
No.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Mr. Reshefsky?
Yes.
Mr. Papalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnak?
Yes.
Mr. Pendy?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwein?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Tracy?
No.
The vote is 12-5. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So now we're down to the last sentence, which reads, provide the original administrator authority to adjust recreational management measures for Georges Bank Cod in consultation with the council, fishing year 2023 and 2024 to stay within the catch target selected by the council. Is there anyone on the council that would like to amend, perfect, whatever you want to call it, that sentence? That's where we're at. Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman, if I might?
Sure.
Dr. Kerr, I think, is still on the phone call. I don't know if before you vote on the substitute motion, whether she has any questions. She may not, since the remand language was taken out, but you might want to give her an opportunity if she's still here. She looks like she's still here.
Dr. Kerr?
Yes, I'm still here. I guess, you know, it sort of moved past, I guess, a remand is my understanding of this, to a reconsideration of the 2023 and 2024 catch advice by the SSC. And I think that, you know, I think I would just emphasize is that if we, you know, we're bringing this back into consideration, it be clear in the terms of reference what new information we're considering, and have, you know, very clear terms of reference. I will just comment, I think, you know, that this, relative to the minority report, I think, the intention of that, I'll just comment that I think the intention of that was focused on the year-to-year decrease and the focus on catch stability. And so I think, like others have commented, I could foresee this moving into a situation where there could be a bit of a sawtooth change in catch advice. Yeah, I guess that would be my only comment. I think it could get away somewhat from the intention that was behind the minority report going forward. But thanks for the opportunity to comment.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Edith. Well, it depends on how this motion goes. We do have an underlying main motion as well. So is there anyone from the council who wants to offer an amendment? I don't see any, so I don't have anything to go to the public with. So at this point, what we have now is we have a substitute motion that has been perfected. So is there any other discussion on the substitute motion as perfected before I call the question? Ms. Raymond. You're muted, Maggie.
Sorry, it took a while to get unmuted by from the staff. In support of the substitute motion, I just want to say that, you know, the Associated Fisheries of Maine appreciates the council's willingness to consider a new potential ABC for 2023. And I'm hoping that people recognize how difficult this 754 metric ton ABC is going to be for the commercial fishery in 2022. In this current fishing year, the sectors have caught, up until the end of November, 218 metric tons of Georges Bank cod with 5 months left in the fishing year. So how we're going to manage 165 tons across all of the sectors is almost unimaginable how we're going to do that. So again, appreciate, you know, all of the support that has been said so far in terms of the substitute, but this is going to be very, very difficult year in 2022 for the commercial fishery. Thank you.
Anyone else from the public? Anybody else from the council before we call the vote on the substitute motion? If the substitute motion prevails, it will become the main motion, as long as we're clear on that. So, okay. Do you want me to read it in the record, Tom?
I think you already did while we were waiting for Vito, if I remember correctly.
Okay, perfect. So, Mr. Nice, will you please call the roll on the substitute motion as amended? If it prevails, it becomes the main motion. If it fails, then the main motion, the underlying motion, will be the main motion. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. Council members, please answer yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonline?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin? Somehow she got muted, sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Popolaro?
Yes.
Mr. Oshevsky?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Etrie?
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Gates?
Yes.
The vote is 17-0, unanimous.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nee. So the motion to substitute is now the main motion. I'll afford the opportunity to do any minor changes in this, non-substantive changes, or if Mr. Belavance, at this point, if you... I'll give you the option to split it if you want.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, but I do not feel that's necessary at this time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just have a quick clarifying question, hopefully. In the first bullet, it says that 2023 and 2024 recreational cod catch targets will be set in the annual spec package. I know we had a long debate about the about the ABCs for Georgia's COD for 23 and 24. I think we all understand what's going to happen with them, but I just don't know if there needs to be something in the rationale of the main motion or some words in the main motion that say the 2023 and 2024 ABCs will be established in the next spec package, similar to what's in there for the recreational stuff. So I think we all know what we're doing. I just didn't know if that would be helpful for clarity or not.
Dr. Cornane.
I'm just going to add that the way I understand this, where it says with the following fishing year 2020 management measures for the recreational fishery, those go in place unless replaced. So in fishing year 2023, if nothing is replaced, but these would be in place until the council or the regional administrator adjusts them. So I just want to make sure folks understand these don't go back to the no action in 2023. I know that was discussed earlier. I just want to say it for the record.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on the council want to make any minor changes here? Okay. We're going to call a vote. We've had plenty of comment on this from both the council and the public. So the main motion, I don't have to read it. See what it is. Mr. Neese, please call the roll.
Mr. Gates.
Yes.
Mr. Alexander.
Yes.
Mr. Belavance.
Yes.
Ms. Braun.
Yes.
Ms. Eitri.
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey.
Yes.
Ms. Patterson.
Yes.
Mr. Salerno.
Yes.
Ms. Ware.
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski.
Yes.
Mr. Papalardo.
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnock.
Yes.
Mr. Pentney.
Yes.
Ms. Griffin.
Yes.
Dr. Sisselheim?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Motion's unanimous, 17-0.
Okay, thank you very much. Chairman Belavance, where are we?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, council members. That was a pretty heavy lift. The council members may recall that Dr. Cornan and a couple of PDT members were able to reevaluate the subcomponents, other components of the fishery, and there were some changes to that. So I thought there might be a motion relative to the memo that she sent out to us, but I'm not certain. So I just wanted to check in with the other council members to see.
Okay. Does any other council member have, Rick, what you're telling me is, unless there's another motion to do something else, we're at the end of the groundfish portion. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was looking through the decision document, and I think we've covered everything. There was this one little outstanding issue that I didn't know if someone had intentions to bring it up or not. So,
okay, just wanted to make sure. Ms. Eitri.
Thanks. I had my hand up, or I thought I did, but it was my mic on. So I do have a motion. I've already sent it. I will just say that Andy Williams was singing when I got another memo on subcomponent analysis, because it is the most wonderful time of the year to get memos on subcomponent analysis. But I sent this out around 1:44 this afternoon. I don't know if Joan has it available. There we go. Yep. Motion to include and adopt in Framework 63 updated subcomponent distributions for Georgia's Bank COD is documented in the council staff memo dated December 7th, 2021, Groundfish Document 3L, that averages catches from 2018 to 2020, resulting in a shift of approximately 7.9 metric tons total from the state and other components of the commercial groundfish ABC.
Okay, thank you. This is not a committee motion. It will require a second. Does anyone wish to second this motion? Mr. Salerno. Rationale, Ms. Eitri?
Rationale is that the PDT utilized the more recent three-year averages It does take into consideration more recent catch. It is going to help minimize the impact to the commercial fishery by making more fish available. And as we noted in the PDT memos, the commercial fishery is going to be subjected to a substantial economic impact with the proposed ABC. So additional fish will be most appreciated, especially since with subcomponent work, if it is projected to go, if it's projected not to be utilized, it just goes unutilized. It's not a sub-ACL with AMs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Salerno. Any additional rationale?
No, all set.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on the motion on the board from the council? Anyone from the council? Let's go to the public. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm just reading over the memo right now. I must have missed this one. And I just wanted to ask, has the council had any discussion over the regional administrator or the GARFO's update on the 2020 data? Has there been any, did I miss something? I assume that the 2020 final catch information, although it's provided on the council, you know, information, I was wondering if there was ever, was there a presentation that I missed and updates on Monday on that or Tuesday on that? Or has that not been discussed? And the reason why I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, is because I don't know if council members have really looked at, you know, a lot of attention has been put on, you know, quote unquote, recreational fishery, which also is, you know, some of it is also, you know, recreational target catch, which is under the other category, and some is also considered under state. But that state component from the final catch information, that portion of the catch blew through the amount that was set aside for them in 2020. So now I'm feeling this anxiety over Atlantic halibut type situation where that's great that we're now going to put a lot less fish aside from states, but when they just blew through the 2020 catch that was set aside, how realistic is this now that we are going to be putting this fish aside for them and that they're not going to blow through that amount and have the commercial fishery pay that overage as well? Feeling very, very anxious that folks are just looking at these numbers and not considering how far-fetched some of these are when considering, you know, the overall biomass of cod. I just see this as coming to a serious halt. I mean, I don't see the states as being able to put in, you know, moratoriums on fishing, and I just see the commercial fishery as having to pay this all back.
Dr. Cornain.
When we did this evaluation, we did it on the commercial catches in the state and other component, and that's where the shift is coming. And if you look at those with the updated 2020 report, it does not take into account in this shift any kind of recreational catch. So it doesn't change the recreational catch target the council would be putting in and the new measures coming into place. It only examines, and I apologize for it coming late yesterday. Hi, Joan, you're on the webinar video. sorry. It only evaluates the commercial state waters catches and the commercial other federal fisheries catches in that memo. So we see a decline in those. We think that it should be updated and shifting that approximately 8 metric tons would be appropriate into the groundfish commercial ABC.
Okay, can I ask another question, Mr. Chairman?
I think you got 32 seconds left, Jackie. Go ahead.
So the groundfish advisors in our motion had recommended that the council send a letter to the states. Making them aware of this significant reduction and getting them prepared to implement similar management requirements in their state waters. Now, what I know that the Massachusetts already does this from and other states, Maine, we've had these discussions in the past, but it appears that some of the state water catch that's coming out of MRIP is from New York and New Jersey now. So who is going to inform those states that are outside of this council process that they need to now make sure that they're complying with these, their states are complying with these restrictions or reductions, I should say. Thank you. My time is up.
Does anybody want to address Ms. O'Dell's question? I mean, the ultimate authority is the regional administrator. So, Mr. Penney, I don't know if you want to step in. Okay, well, Jackie, we're going to have to...
I lost my little sidebar thing. yeah, I mean, I guess I would suggest, you know, the council would be free to, should be free to write a letter to Mid-Atlantic Council, the other states, and inform them of the decisions that were made here today. I don't know that it's, I'm not really sure what the request of those states is at this point in terms of an agency letter.
Okay, Mike, thank you for that. So, okay, anybody else from the public? Back to the council. Any more discussion on the motion on the board from the council? Okay. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Seeing none, is there any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes by unanimous consent. Chairman Bellavance, does that end the business for today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It does end our work on Framework 63. I do have one more motion. We will need to submit this to GARPA or to NIMS. So I think Joan has a motion maybe to submit Framework 63 to NOAA Fisheries.
Okay, very good. It's not a committee motion. Mr. Papalardo, are you seconding that motion?
I am.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the council on this motion? Okay, I'm going to call to see if Mr. Penney, are you going to abstain?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Is there any opposition to this motion? Seeing none, motion passes unanimous consent with one abstention by Mr. Penney. Ms. Eitri.
Thanks. Just quickly following up on that exchange that was just had between Ms. O'Dell and others, would now be appropriate time to offer up a suggestion, hopefully by consensus, that the council write correspondence to the appropriate states and or management bodies highlighting recent recommended changes for rec measures and suggesting consistency with state regulations. I'm doing this on the fly, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to turn to Mr. Nice to see how he feels about that.
Yeah. Anything, any type of thoughts on any of this would be helpful.
Well, I think we could certainly write, I mean, obviously the New England states are all represented at the table, so I'm not sure we need to write letters to them. I'm more than happy to write a letter to the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council and the other states that may be of interest. I don't know how effective it would be. You know, normally in the Magnuson Act, the Secretary of Commerce is the one who's supposed to make sure that state management complies with federal FMPs, but we can certainly write a letter.
Thank you for that. My thought process, and this might be channeling my graduate degree, is thinking that at a minimum, it would be helpful to provide some written notice about this so that if we have an issue that perpetuates into the future and we have to go to consistency in Magnuson, we've at least taken as a council the proactive step to highlight what's happening so that we can, you know, try to move the ball forward before we have a potential issue that is probable.
Okay.
But I don't know if I need this as a motion, as a consensus statement.
No, I want you to make it. Let's do it right. It'll be quick. Make your motion. We'll get a second, and then we'll address it.
Sure. That the council send correspondence to partner organizations highlighted recommended changes to recreational measures, and I would just include and upcoming reductions of Georgia's Bank Card.
It's going to need a second. Anybody want to second this motion? Ms. Griffin?
Yeah, I'm happy to second, maybe just with a little perfection on the partner organizations.
I would welcome suggestions.
Yeah. I think just, you know, to say to the Mid-Atlantic and Mid-Atlantic states, perhaps, would be the better.
Yeah, I'm agreeable to that.
Is that what you want, Ms. Griffin?
Yeah, and maybe to the individual states that comprise the Mid-Atlantic. They probably would get it through the council, but might be redundant.
Okay. So the motion is that the council send correspondence to the Mid-Atlantic Council and individual Mid-Atlantic states highlighting recommended changes to recreational measures and upcoming reductions of Georgia's Bank Cod. Ms. Ware?
Thank you. I just have a clarifying question. Is the purpose of the letter kind of informational or notification, I'll say, of what the council has recently done given the assessment information, or is there a specific ask in the letter?
Ms. Heatry?
My ask would be, you know, the consistency with federal regulations to the extent that they're applicable. I am going to admit at 513, I'm trying to recall this discussion that we had with Halibut. And that did come from the agency, but there is a consistency expectation. So that would be what I think the ask needs to be. But if I'm misunderstanding that dynamic, someone can help clarify for me.
Okay. Well, this is going to be written by council staff. So, Mr. Nish, do you have enough to go on here with the way this is written?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Megan, are you good with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any additional discussion on the motion on the board? Libby, I'm assuming your hand's up. Okay, thank you. Okay. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board by the council? Seeing none, Mr. Pentney, do you want to abstain?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so this motion passes by unanimous consent. Is there anything else to come before Groundfish today? Any other business? Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks to our staff and PDT for all the work they put into this. Appreciate it, and the council, committee advisors, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Rick. Yeah, it was a Well, everybody did a very, very good job doing a lot of hard work, everybody. So, okay, so we're going to stand adjourned for the rest of this evening. And I want to remind everybody tomorrow morning, we start at 9:00.
Mr. Chairman?
And Go ahead, Tom.
Did you want to do the TMGC report today, or would you prefer to do it tomorrow at 9 a.m.?
We already did the TMGC report.
Oh. You missed my speed report?
Right.
I think I did it in 7 minutes, trying to buy us back time.
I apologize. My mistake.
It's okay, Tom. No problem. So I just want to remind everybody, tomorrow morning we start at 9 o'clock with the Scholarship Committee report. And at 11:30, Assistant Administrator Janet Coit is going to join us, and she's going to give us her take on, from D.C. or from Rhode Island, wherever she may be, on what's going on there. So that's going to be an interesting conversation. So that's at 11:30. And then we have We have priorities tomorrow afternoon. So with that, everybody have a great evening, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Night, everybody.